Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to this special bonus episode from Olive Magazine's vegan series. To listen to the full episode, go to olivemagazine.com, Acast, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the vegan baking bonus episode, and I'm here with Tom Adams, also known as Project Vegan Bacon on Instagram, and we are talking about his vegan lemon meringue pie, and he's going to talk us through it with lots of tips and tricks to getting it just right. Hi, Tom.
Hello, I'm back again.
Back again. So the vegan lemon meringue pie, you said, is one of the most popular recipes on your website and on your Instagram. So let's start at the beginning. What do we do first?
Yeah, so there's three elements to a lemon meringue pie. First is the pie crust, which is seems like the sort of simple element, but the pastry work is actually one of the more challenging elements of baking, just because it's quite sciencey and there's a few sort of tricks and rules you have to follow. So you're in your kitchen, you've got your bowls, you've got your ingredients measured out. Try and make sure, usually you want all your ingredients the same temperature, but for pastry, you want the butter to be ice cold, because when butter warms up, it releases moisture. And when pastry bakes, you don't want the moisture being absorbed by the flour, because it means the crust will shrink and it will crack. And to get that really beautiful lamination in pastry, it's best to, if you keep the butter as ice cold as possible, which is why in the recipe, there is cold water added to the pastry rather than room temperature, keeps the butter firm. And it means as we roll it out, as we make layers, the pastry will be really delicate, really flaky, and, buttery as well. So that's the first element. And I suppose it's hard to talk through it. Essentially, it's you cut up the butter, mash it in. You can use your fingers, although your fingers will slightly warm it, but... and then clump it together and then chill it, because you want the dough to relax slightly. Because as you work the flour, as you work the dough, gluten will develop, and you sort of want to relax the gluten, because gluten will tighten the crust, and you don't really want it to shrink or it to dry out. Chill the dough, and then afterwards you roll it out, roll it into a big disc, try and get it as thin as possible, and I always find that I've rolled it thin enough and it's not quite thin enough. So I always think, push it further than you think. If you reach a point where you've rolled it so thin that there are holes, then yeah, you have gone too far. But you can always just sort of fold it back up and do it again. And you've got even more layers than you started with. So it's always try and push it as far as you can and get it to sort of 2 or 3 millimeters in thickness. And then, yeah, and then drape it over your tart case. Use baking beads to hold down the baking paper on top. This sort of prevents the shape from morphing too much in the oven. And yeah, and then so once the pie crust is done, you can set it aside and then you can sort of move on to the other elements separately.
And we can't have lemon meringue pie without the lemon bit. Traditionally, this would be egg-based. How do you get over that hurdle?
Yeah, so it's essentially just a sort of set lemon curd. And then often, not always, but often you find egg yolks being used as sort of for color and to set the curd as well. Because obviously when you cook yolks, they firm. And so what I've done here is I've just used cornstarch to set the curd. Starches, when you heat them up, they firm up. And so that's essentially what's being done here. I also used agar-agar powder, which is sort of a vegan gelatin. And you can get away with skipping it. You would just up the amount of cornstarch, because I know it is a specialty ingredient. I have managed to find it in supermarkets, but sort of not every supermarket. And it sort of needs to be the bigger ones that have sort of the specialty sections. All the flavor comes from the lemon and the lemon zest. And I suggest using a soy cream, but you can also use coconut cream. I found that people worry about the flavor of coconut coming through too much, but I feel that lemon is such a strong, strong flavor that you very rarely do taste the coconut. And if you do, I sort of think it's a nice flavor to have. I recently made a pineapple meringue pie, and I used coconut there, and I thought it was a really nice complimentary note. And so it's all done in the pot, and you put it into the tart case, and then you leave it, set it aside, and it'll set at room temperature, or you can put it in the fridge for a few hours.
So is it literally just you're just putting the liquid ingredients in and then thickening it with cornstarch over the heat?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. A baking tip and trick that I use for everything is that people always they do everything right, but then they run into clumping, which is when you sort of mix a powder into a hot liquid, and even though you have the whisk and even though you have the sieve, you just keep getting clumps, and then the recipe is kind of ruined, because if the clumps don't absorb into the liquid, then you kind of are stuck. So what I always suggest, and I do this for many, many elements in baking, is that if you have to mix a powder into a liquid, take a few spoonfuls of the liquid in a smaller bowl, and then add the powder separately with a small whisk or a small spoon, mix it until it's a paste or a thick liquid. Because when there's much less liquid, it's so much easier to force the powder into it, rather than if you have a big bowl, a big pot, because then, you know, the clumps happen and they just scatter all over the pot, and it's very, very hard to get it to absorb. And then once you have that paste, you can add it to the larger pot with the larger liquid, and liquids naturally just mixed together anyway. And so it's the trick to always get everything mixed evenly.
Let's talk about the meringue, because that is the most dramatic bit, and I mean I can't believe how high it is in the picture. And we are going to get this recipe from Tom and put it online so everyone can read through it in detail and follow it as well. So tell us all about your meringue. Tell us about your aquafaba, all your little tricks that you do to make it super stable.
Absolutely. So tip number one is that I suggest, as we mentioned in the earlier episode, to reduce the aquafaba. This is to try and get rid of some of that excess liquid and to make the aquafaba really whippable, really potent. And so it can resemble as close as possible what egg whites do, because sometimes when the aquafaba is too watery, you really struggle to get firm peaks, and which is fine. You can end up with a sort of semi-stable aquafaba, but you'll see it's more foamy than it is crisp, which makes it harder to torch and it's less interesting to eat. So definitely reduce your aquafaba. I recommend that all the time. And then once that's reduced, you can sort of treat it as if it's egg whites. So it whips well, and then you whip it in the bowl first. So if you don't have a stand mixer, just use an electric whisk. And I suggest adding a pinch of cream of tartar. If you don't have that, you can use a small amount of lemon juice, which is also an acid. But the problem with lemon juice is that it's a liquid. And we did all that effort to take some of the liquid away by reducing the aquafaba, that you don't really want to add it back in. It's nicer to use powders to keep the mixture as dry as possible so that it's as potent as possible. And then you just whip away. This is an Italian meringue, which is the trickiest of the three meringue methods, because you have to heat up a sugar syrup and pour it in. So you definitely need a candy thermometer to measure the temperature of the sugar liquid, because you really need to heat that, raise the temperature to the point where the sugar, I believe they call it, is a firm bore stage, which means that once it gets poured in, it will set, but it won't set with a hard crack. It won't be like those candy sweets that you buy on the seaside. It'll allow the meringue to be very firm, but pliable, and just when you scoop through it, it'll just be delicious and bouncy and soft and light, and you can torch it and it'll be crisp. In the recipe, I also recommend adding agar powder, which is basically what Some Italian meringue recipes include gelatin, especially if you're creating a pie that needs to sit in a bakery all day. You want the meringue to be as firm as possible, temperature resistant, time resistant. And then adding agar there basically means that the meringue will be very, very firm and will not wilt, will not droop, liquid won't leak from it, which I think is, you know, the best kind of meringue. But again, if you don't have access to agar powder, you can skip the agar here and it will still be a very successful meringue because it's the Italian meringue method is the most sophisticated and advanced, and the hot sugar will still cool down and crystallize, not crystallize is a bad word, but firm up in the meringue. So it will still be delicious. It's more just that extra step to take it to like a really sophisticated recipe. And you can't imagine how surprised people are when you present them a vegan lemon meringue pie, because they start thinking, hang on, wasn't there eggs there? Isn't that egg whites? The pastry, isn't that butter? And, you know, it blows people's minds, which is fine.
And how do we get that gorgeous finish? I mean, would you do that under a grill or would you use a blowtorch for that?
I recommend using a blowtorch. You can broil it. I just struggle to get that really nice shading. And obviously, if you have a handheld torch, you can burn it and scorch it as you please. Fun story. My sister bought me a handheld torch a couple of years ago for Christmas. And she was like, well, you need the butane gas to come with it so you can use it. I'll just buy you a small pack of 8 cans. Those cans last a lifetime. It's 3 years later and I make lemon meringue pies every single month. I'm still not through the first can. I've got, and this is 2021. She gifted me this Christmas 2019 or maybe even 2018. So I've got 8 cans of butane gas under my kitchen sink. If anybody wants one, feel free to come over and get one.
I think there's a lemon meringue pie factory waiting to happen there, isn't there?
Yeah, it could be a disaster. Yeah. So please do save me.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Loads of tips and tricks from Tom there. And as I said, we'll be putting the recipe up on olivemagazine.com with the beautiful pic and all of the steps so you can get it just right. But if you want to follow Tom on Instagram, it's at Project Vegan Baking, and your website is projectveganbaking.com. But thanks again for coming to chat to us, Tom. That was a special bonus episode for the Olive Magazine podcast. To find the recipe we talked about in this episode and to check out our back catalogue of over 200 episodes, head to olivemagazine.com.